Good morning. I know everybody's enjoying themselves. I hate to break it up. We're going to be talking about love through the month of May. And today's message is going to be without love. It's from 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. So let me grab my text. That's a Sunday school lesson. All right. If you're a visitor, we have the word on the wall. That way we're all in the same translation, same page. The Apostle Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Father, I thank you that your word never returns to you void. It accomplishes what you send it out to do. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit who teaches us the truth. You said he would take things that are yours and show them to us. I just invite you in our midst, Lord Jesus. I pray if anyone here today has never surrendered their life to you, that this would be a day of salvation. And we'll be careful to give all the glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Who is Paul speaking to here? The church, yeah. Some of the scholars even, they'll take this part of the text and say, Paul's referring to the religious, not the saved. And one of their examples is the Pharisees. Jesus' indictment against the Pharisees was not that they didn't read the Bible, because he said, you diligently study the scriptures. Some of the Pharisees had memorized the first four books of the law. That's a lot of memorization. He didn't indict them that they didn't keep the law, because the Pharisees were very strict. His indictment against them was, I know that you do not have the love of God in you. The love we're talking about today is agape. This is the love that Christians use to refer to God's love. And agape is a combination of two Greek words. One is agapeo, and we've talked about that. The love God has for his son, for his people, and the love that his people are to have for him, each other, and even our enemies. In fact, agape, that's the definition given for agape. And the other word is agapetos. Agapetos means to love someone dearly. It means to have a special relationship with someone. So according to the scholars, the early church, which was predominantly Greek in language, took these two words in Greek for love and combined them to talk about the love of God. Paul is speaking, when he begins his letter, he says, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. I included that because you answered, I said, who is Paul speaking? You said the church. And sometimes we will deviate from the text or differentiate and say, well, Paul here is speaking to unbelievers. When Paul wrote this letter, it's to the church. And you notice he called them sanctified, set apart for a holy purpose. He calls them God's people. So Paul is addressing the church, and the church in Corinth had a lot of problems. Paul had been notified the problems that were going on there, he mentioned someone named Chloe, and he says it's been brought to his attention by him that there were problems in the church. We're going to talk today about this pastor's letter warning his congregation and encouraging them to love with the love of God. In the message, God is Love, we talked about the fact that since God is love, everything that he does is motivated by love or because of love. Jesus told Nicodemus, for God so loved the world. Now that word's agapeo, but it still means that God loved the world. He was concerned with our condition. God told the prophet Ezekiel, I don't take delight in the debt of the wicked. Paul said, God is not willing that any of us should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of repentance. But the sad fact is that not all do. Some people will die rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, and they'll bear their judgment. God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's agape. That's the Greek word used here in Romans. Paul said God showed his love. You remember the definition? It's active. It's an active love. God didn't just say, I love you. God loved us. And he sent his son for us. God's love is in the believer through the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Romans, hope does not make us ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So if you are a believer in Christ, if you have been immersed into Christ, if you have obeyed the command to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, then the Bible says you will receive the Holy Spirit. Paul said the Holy Spirit is a seal. It's like God's seal on you that he recognizes you as his child. And he has placed his love inside you. Paul called the Holy Spirit the mind of Christ. He said, who knows the heart of a man better than the spirit of the man? And that's true. There's things you and I know about ourselves we don't want anybody else to know. Our spirit knows it. And the Bible refers to God's spirit as like a lamp. When the Holy Spirit is infused into our spirit, God's light comes on. Should. Okay? I spent this morning reading the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. I encourage you this afternoon after lunch, if you don't take a nap immediately, sit down and read 1 Corinthians. You know, because they divide it into page numbers and chapters, it seems long, but actually it was written as a letter. It might be 6 pages, but you can get a 6-page letter from somebody you love, and you don't think it's too tedious to sit down and read the whole thing. And sometimes we do the scriptures. Well, that's just too much for me to try to retain. The reason I'm asking you to do that is because what you will see, what I saw, all talks about the love, the agape of God, all through the chapter. And he's telling the church, we are to work within the agape. The special relationship we have with God is to motivate you and I to love one another. That's why John said, if we don't love each other and claim we love God, we're liars. He said, you're in the dark still. Because if you can't love your brother who you've seen, how can you love God whom you've never seen? Makes sense. Now, Paul calls the church at Corinth sanctified, washed. He's not calling them infidels. He's not calling them unbelievers. He said, don't be deceived. The sexual immoral will not enter heaven. Why did he write that? Because there was sexual immorality in the church unpunished. Paul said, you are glorying in this rather than doing what you're supposed to do. The elders of that church should have taken the couple that was offending and kicked them out. We don't do that today. Well, they'll think we're intolerant. These were church members committing sexual immorality, and it was unrepented of. So there's the second thing Paul said to that church. You not only have sexual immorality going on in the membership, you haven't repented, and neither have they. These are blood-bought citizens of heaven. He didn't say, well, they didn't get saved or they wouldn't do that. That's not what he said. He addresses them as God's children, but they're not practicing the agape love of God. You remember in the first chapter, Paul gives them that blessing and recognition. Then he says, it's come to my attention that there are divisions among you. Some of you say, I follow Paul. Some say, well, I follow Apollos. Some say, I follow Cephas. And the others say, well, I follow Christ. And Paul has to rebuke them. And you know, his rebuke was mainly to the elders of the church. Why are you letting this go on? He said, was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in my name? And that's why he said, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you except two families he named. So, Paul tells this church, I have to address you like children. He said, I can't go deeper with you in the spirit because you're babies in your faith. Oh. Here's Paul. They got these false apostles coming in, charging them large sums of money to teach them the mysteries of God. And they're scamming them. And Paul says, in essence, I wanted to share the mysteries of the gospel, but I can't. You wouldn't understand. Now, today we think, well, boy, that's pretty harsh. That's arrogant. But Paul was saying, you're not operating in the spirit. In fact, he said, you're carnal. Now, in the Nazarene church, that meant something. We still use that word, carnal. Carnal man, you had the Holy Ghost, but you didn't listen to the Holy Ghost. You did what you wanted to do. So Paul here is addressing a backslidden church. They're still the children of God. Paul never denies that. He never says that you weren't saved, never saved, is why you do these sins. He's saying you're not walking in the Spirit. You know what he told the church of Galatia? If you will walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of your flesh. Did you know there's two gods residing in the heart of a Christian? Holy Spirit revealed that to me this week. There's the Lord of glory, the Omega, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Lord of hosts, the God who created this earth is living in you if you're a Christian and the Spirit abides in you. Who's the second God? The God of self. Not the God of this world. He's not our God. Because when we came to Christ, the Bible says God plucked us up. The Greek says pulled us up by the roots out of the kingdom of darkness and transplanted us into the kingdom of His Son. The Greek says the Son of His love, agape. So, the God of this world is not our God. And we blame a lot of things on Him in the church. I had a lady tell me one time, I had this, Satan gave me this thought, and then I thought something else, and the devil gave me this thought, and I thought something else, and the devil just, I said, poor you, the devil just won't leave you alone. I said, let me share something with you, sweetheart. That might not even been the devil. We are our biggest enemy, church. Okay? When we set out to please ourselves, when we set out and say, God, let my will be done, that's religion. Religion, defined by Karl Barth, is man's attempt to get to God. Okay. Now here Paul is speaking to his church. They got divisions, they have sin, and they're jockeying for position. I know that because when you read in the 14th chapter, Paul said, how is it that every one of you has a hymn, a tongue, a revelation, a prophecy? What was going on is when the church would meet, somebody start talking in tongues, well, somebody else would try to outdo that. One guy would begin to preach, and other guys would stand up and they'd preach with him. What does that cause? Confusion. Paul said if an unbeliever comes in, he'll think you're crazy. Rightfully so. You see, the love of God should not cause you and I to compete with one another, but rather to work together. That's what we're called to do, to be unified. Jesus said he wanted us to be one, as he and the Father are one. How do you do that? By submitting to the Holy Spirit who's in you. This was the problem. They were big on their spiritual gifts. You know how I know I'm a Christian? You want to hear me speak in tongues? I can prophesy. And Paul said, in the church there's this competition going on. My goodness. That's ignorance gone to seed. To me, it's like, how could that happen in God's church? You'd think they would be tickled that they had all these different gifts, and Paul brings out the fact in the 14th chapter, these gifts are to build up the church, and you're tearing it down. You're tearing it down with your divisions. You're tearing it down with your competition. And their religion became self-seeking and self-centered. And that's why Paul said to them, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not agape, I am nothing. One philosopher, I don't remember his name, they said he was illiterate, couldn't read. But talking about false religion one time, he compared it to an empty wagon. He said, so an empty wagon makes the most noise as it rolls down the hill. And he said, therefore, the empty religionist will make a lot of noise. Jesus said it. He said, when you do your works as alms, your charity, he said, don't do what the hypocrites do. I'm trying to get my button here. It's coming undone. He said, don't do what the hypocrites do. They sound a trumpet so they can be seen as people. Jesus said, they have their reward. That's it. People saw him and said, oh, what a good person. So Paul said, look, he goes on in 14, he says, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, he said, I'd rather speak five words that would build you up, five words that I understood, than 1,000 words, 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. They had the gift of tongues. They were abusing it. And it wasn't done for God's glory. It was done to promote themselves. And instead of building up the church, it was tearing apart. Paul said, if I have the gift of prophecy, and I can reveal all the mysteries of God, that's quite a gift. Or he said, if I have all faith. Remember, we talked about two weeks ago, without faith, you can't please God. God is a covenant God, and he expects his people to have faith. We have to believe that he exists. We have to believe that he rewards those who seek him. So Paul said, if I have all faith, and I can command mountains to be removed, but I don't have agape, I'm nothing. Paul said, I am nothing. I just make a lot of noise. Christian, when our religion is centered on self, all we're doing is making noise. That's what Paul said. I didn't say it. And he said, if I go as far as to offer my body to the fire, If I sell everything I have and give it to the poor, you remember that's what Jesus told the rich young man to do when he said, what do I do for eternal life? Jesus pinpointed his God. His idol was money and possessions. He said, well, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. What happened? It said he walked away sad. He made a choice right there. I don't want eternal life that bad. And I've had people tell me, I don't want to be a fanatic Christian, you know. You got to be able to get along with the world. That's what the Corinthians were trying to do. Paul said, if I sell everything I have and give it to the poor, and I allow my body to be burned, but it's not out of agape, if it's not because the love of God is impressing me to do this, I don't gain a thing. God's not impressed. You just become a crispy critter. And not for God, you did it for yourself. Now we can say today, well, thank God the church is straightened out and we don't do that kind of stuff. We don't even believe in tongues in the Christian church, so that's not an issue. Yeah, but all of us got our own slant on Scripture. And sometimes we clash like two stray cats. Wham! You know, I'm right, you're wrong. You're going to go to hell if you don't think like I do. We fight for position. Who's going to be in charge? Jesus Christ is the head of the church, not the elders. Amen. We forget that sometimes, elders. We begin to think we're the head of the church, and by God, they'll do what we tell them. That's not agape. The agape love of God concerns everyone involved. That's agape. You see, God wants a special relationship with us. It's up to us if we want it with Him. There's going to be a lot of religious people, Jesus said, on the day of judgment, are going to say, but Lord, we preached in Your name. We cast out demons in Your name. We've done a lot of wonderful works in Your name. You did it in My name, Jesus is going to say, but I was no part of it. I didn't have anything to do with that. Depart from me, you who practice iniquity. That's important in the Greek, practice. Not you who fall into sin, as Christians can and often do. And the Bible says if we do repent and confess our sins, and He'll forgive us. These people have unconfessed sin. Jesus said, I've never was a part of that. They were religious. Some people, instead of coming to Christ, they think, if I can keep these rules, then God will have to take me into heaven. We're trying to manipulate God. If I'm a good enough person, God's got to let me into heaven. The problem with that attitude is Isaiah said, at our best, our righteousness to God is like filthy rags. Rags that the lepers used to wrap around their sores. And when they get saturated with pus and blood, they throw them off somewhere. They were unclean. And Isaiah said, when God looks at you at your best, that's what He sees. You see, the people that Paul's talking about have forgotten that they needed a Savior. They knew they did because when he preached the gospel, they repented. Paul tells them later how you turned away from dumb idols. He said, I knew that God was working here because you were turning away from these gods and you came to Christ. But you know what happens, church, if we don't stay hooked up with Jesus Christ? We begin to do things for ourselves in His name. We begin to think that God's pretty lucky to have somebody like us on His team. And we're so highly motivated, and we're going to run around and do all this good for God. And Paul is saying, if it doesn't stem from His love, you don't gain a thing. That's hard. Some say, well, now, we are sealed with the Spirit. We do have God's love in us. And if we do, it can't go away. We can't lose that. A good friend of mine said, It's like sealing a jar when you can. Some of you ladies still can. Some of you, I can. You know, that's what I'm saying. I can. And he said, when that jar seals, you hear that? They go, boom. And it's sealed. It's vacuum sealed. He said, that's the way God seals us. And only God can break the seal. So you can't. You can't send your religion away. You can't send the Holy Spirit away. Paul said, don't grieve him. What's grieve mean? Don't make him angry. Don't treat him lightly. Well, a Christian, anything a Christian does is motivated by the love of God because the Spirit of God is within us. Therefore, it's God's love. Not necessarily. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will say, here's the way, walk in it. He does not get you by the ear and lead you down a path. He says, this is the way you need to go. Jesus referred to him as Parakletos, one who comes alongside. He walks with you. And he'll get you by the elbow and he'll say, don't go there. Watch out for her. You don't want anything to do with that. But any time I choose, I say, I'm not going to listen to that. I just don't think that's God. Jesus said in Matthew, talking about the last days, he said, because lawlessness, sin, iniquity will abound, the love of most will grow cold. Guess what word he used? Agape. He's talking and warning his church. He said, because sin will abound. And boy, we live in that time. He said to the prophet Isaiah, woe to those who decree unjust laws. We got a Supreme Court and a Congress decreeing unjust laws, immoral laws. Anytime they say two men or two women can get married, and you know now there's a new term Dr. Marcus said about, throuples. Throuples? What's throuples? Three people. It can be three men, two men and a woman, two women and a man. They're trying to push through where they can get married. Certified as throuples. God says, woe to any nation who calls evil good and good evil. I live in a nation like that. I'm here as a light, so are you. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, not you. Not that they're going to run out and pat you on the back and say, boy, you're so religious. But they're going to glorify God. He's the one who gets the glory, Christian. He's the one that gets the slap in the face when we don't live according to the Holy Spirit. He said to David when he sinned with Bathsheba, you have given my enemies a reason to blaspheme. That broke David's heart. That's when David repented. He brought shame on his God. And God wasn't afraid to tell him that. He said, you're not going to die, David. I've put this sin away. He deserved to die by the law. Him and Bathsheba legally should have been drug outside the city limits and stoned to death, even though he was the king. But God said, you're not going to die for this. But there's going to be a sword in your house for the rest of your life. And there was. The consequences of your sins. Sins have consequences, church. Sins have repercussions, and it's like throwing a rock in a pond. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But now, if we repent, then the ripples will stop. God will cleanse us from unrighteousness and say, let's go forward. Don't look back. This was a church. Paul said to himself, you were washed. You were sanctified. You were bought with a price. You belong to Jesus Christ, called to be saints. That's God's will for us, is that we will be His saints for His glory, not for ours. And some in the church had started trying to stand in the light, in the limelight, and they wanted all the applause, all the recognition. When I was in the Nazarene church, they got a new pastor. And there was like 8 or 9 people left in the church. And one Sunday, he named a man and his wife and said they have been pillars in this church. They have stayed here through thick and thin. They have been faithful tithers. And he said, I would love for more people like this couple, more Christians to be in here. I was the associate, and I sat there in my pew going, oh, man, y'all know better than name names. Somebody's going to get mad. Guess what? Somebody got mad. And this gentleman's wife come up and said, if he's going to name them, he's got to name us too. We've done a lot of work here. We've done a lot of volunteering around here. How come he didn't name us? I think that's wrong. Oh, she was so mad. I said, would you talk to the pastor? No. I'm too mad to talk to the pastor. So I went to the pastor. I said, you kind of stepped in it, buddy, when you did this. And I told him what the lady said, who the lady was, and he got mad. He said, I intended to call their name next Sunday. But I'll be dogged if I'll do that. I'm not going to name anybody anymore than the pulpit. I said, I think that's a good idea, but you already opened this box. I said, Pastor, would you be willing to go talk with him? No. Is that the Holy Spirit? No. That's the old flesh rising up. That's that pride. I didn't do nothing wrong. Let her come groveling back to me. And you know that contention was there until the day that man left the church. And one time he called an emergency board meeting and his cousin me, I've made somebody mad. And that couple was there and he was there and there were some other couples there. And I thought, the pastor said, Rick, you get to talk for your heart. This is the time of reconciliation. And I looked at that man's wife and I said, you have it out for the pastor because he made you angry and you said this. And she looked at me and said, I never said that. And her husband just ducked his head. Holy Spirit of flesh. Flesh. I didn't call her a liar. I thought it. But I knew if I did, I'd have to fight her husband. And I figured I could whip him, but the associate shouldn't be fighting with people in the church. You know. These are spirit-filled Christians. You see, Paul is saying you can be religious. You can do good things. You can volunteer in the church. But if it's not motivated by the agape love of God, your motives are all wrong and it doesn't mean a thing to him. Well, how am I supposed to know? He'll tell you. God has a ministry for everyone in this room. Paul said these good works that he prepared in advance that we do before he laid the foundations of the world, God knew you by name and he knew his plan for you. Isn't that wild? And he let you be born anyway. I think of the life I lived as a professed Christian when I got out of the church and got into the drugs and everything else. And I used to sit in the woods sometimes and bawl. Like a baby, I would bawl and I'd say, God, I started out right, now I'm wrong. And the devil said, there's no going back. You walked away from it, there's no going back, no forgiveness. And I believe that. So one night the Holy Spirit came and said, repent. And I confessed my sins and I repented. Now, do I have the Spirit? Yes, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Do I ever work in the flesh? You bet. There's a guy cut me off in traffic the other day. My first thought was, his window was down. I'm going to go over there and drag him out of that pickup and read him the riot act. I almost hit him. And then the Spirit said, yeah, then you can tell him about the love of Jesus. All right. My problem is my back's so bad. If I'd have jerked, I'd have probably screamed and hit the ground, and he'd have gut stomped me, and I'd have been asking for it. You see, we all get up in the flesh is what I'm saying. But Paul is saying to the church, don't let the flesh control you. The love of God's in you. But he said, if you're doing things in the church to be noticed, to be patted on the back, he said, that's the only reward you're going to get. Let God's Spirit lead you into what he has for you. Don't let anybody put a call on him. I'm going to close with this true story. When I was in the Nazarene churches, this guy showed up, had two kids. Don't remember his name, don't want to remember it. But that guy could quote scripture, chapter verse. Very impressive. But one of the gifts the Spirit is letting me have sometimes is the discerning of spirits. And he came up and was talking to me and shook my hand and called me brother. And my thought was, you're not my brother. And the Spirit said, watch him. The same lady I was talking to came up. We had a church cookout, you know, and he came and he was quoting scripture and stuff. Says, I think the Lord's telling me that you've been called to preach. I said, oh, dear Lord. And she came and said, I think he's called to preach. I said, no, he's not saved. I said, in fact, that man is under the influence of a demon. Well, I didn't know that. Well, you would have if you'd asked the Holy Spirit. Instead of running out there in your own power zone, God's called you to preach. Young people, don't let anybody put a call on you. God will call you. He will confirm the call. He will open the doors. And if he shuts the door in your face, pray and wait on him and say, what do you want me to do? And he will show you. I'm sorry, too many parents try to put the call on their kids. God wants you to preach. No, mom and dad wants you to preach. God has another plan for you. God wants you to lead music worship. No, God might want you to preach. Yeah, that's how it works. Christian, let's be led by the Spirit. And you know one way, I think a quick way we can solve this, and I'm learning to do this, it only took me 34 years. When I start thinking something about church, ask myself, is this God or is this me? Now, trying to drag somebody out of a pickup, that was easy. That was me. That wasn't God. I didn't know where the cops were, and I didn't want them showing up and me being the guy that was going to get tased. But sometimes in the church, we get in our heads that this is what we got to do. And the Spirit of God saying, no. Let's put all the bells and whistles, pastors. Let's have smoke screens and strobe lights and play loud rock and roll. That'll draw people. Well, it'll draw some. But are you ready for them? Huh? Can you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a total stranger? Do you know how to lead somebody to Christ? Are you going to be able to put up with their sins when they come in here and sit down and start cussing? I had an old lady at the nursing home just cuss me out while I was preaching. She had Alzheimer's, I found out later, and she started taking her wheelchair apart and throwing it. And the nurse finally came up and said, I'm sorry, and turned around. She said, I'll never leave that to this church again. I said, oh, praise you, Lord. I don't need this. Paul isn't condemning this church. He's not saying you're not saved, but he's saying you're not spiritual. When your opinions begin to be doctrine, you're in trouble. And some people never get over that. This is what I believe, and by golly, I won't budge. They mean it when they say, I shall not be moved. Yeah. Paul said to the Corinthian church, you have the Holy Spirit. You've been washed in the Spirit. You were baptized into Jesus Christ. You're children of God. Start acting like it. That's what he was saying. Church, act like it. They were suing each other in court. And Paul said, don't you have one person in the church who can make judgments for you? Yeah, but I don't like what he says. He never says what I want to hear. He might tell me I'm wrong. Well, Paul said you should rather be defrauded than take a brother or sister before unbelievers. That's how strong he felt about agape. He says, come on, we have agape, we have God's love, we're supposed to share it with one another, we're supposed to watch out over each other, pray for one another, pray and ask God what his will is. You know when he'll tell you what his will is? When you're totally submitted. When you're totally submitted and you're serious and you're honest and you say, God, what's your will for me? Then he'll tell you. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm glad I serve a God that didn't just throw this church away, this church we talked about. Boy, he had every right to, but because of what Christ did for them, God was able to forgive them and strengthen them and try to set their feet back on the right path. If you're here this morning and you have never called out to the Lord and asked him to save you, I encourage you to do that today. If you want to talk to me, come up here and sit on the front row. I'll be glad to visit with you. Would you come as we sing the song of invitation? Said he had to stay 2 weeks up there, and then when he gets the man sealed, he has to stay 2 to 4 weeks at Rocky Ridge going through rehab. So keep lifting him up in prayer. I told Esther if she needed anything to call me or to call one of you and let you know, and she said she would. So be in prayer for him. I don't know of anybody else right now. I don't have any prayer requests for him. Is there anything you want us to pray about before we leave? Well, I'm going to ask whoever has the closing prayer to please pray.
Lord, we want to thank you for this wonderful day you've given us. And I pray that you help God through what he's going through. And also bless each and every one of us as we go out of this building and lift you up in our everyday activities, I guess. And basically answer everyone's unsaid prayers that they have in their minds. Amen.